Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Bicatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're opening up a book that, for anyone living through recent years, it feels less like looking back and more like reading a manual for our times.
Absolutely. We're diving into Laurie Garrett's 1994 masterpiece, The Coming Plague, Newly Emerging Diseases in a World Out of Balance.
And it really was a masterpiece. Its core mission back then was to just completely dismantle this myth that was so prevalent in the mid-20th century.
That myth being the idea that humanity had, basically won the war against infectious diseases. We had antibiotics, we had vaccines.
Right. This incredible sense of hubris, really, that the fight was over.
And Garrett's book was just this clarion call saying, no, not only is it not over, but we're actually making things worse.
It feels incredibly prophetic now, doesn't it?
It really does. If you think about SARS, Zika, and obviously COVID-19, this book lays out the why we were so vulnerable. It's the context. It argues microbes aren't just passive things floating around. They're active competitors, adapting, evolving, finding new ways.
And finding those ways because of us, that's the key takeaway, isn't it? Garrett forces you to see outbreaks not as random acts of nature,
but as predictable results. Consequences of our own choices, globalization, how we build cities, how we treat the environment. Our goal today is to really unpack how she argues we are, in effect, architecting our own plagues.
Okay, so before we get into the weeds of the book itself, let's talk about Laurie Garrett for a moment. Her background is key.
Mm-hmm. She is a Pulitzer Prize-winning American science journalist. And that's important. She's a journalist first, not a lab scientist by training.
Which gives her a unique viewpoint, right? Her expertise comes from deep investigation, from being on the ground.
Exactly. She won the Pulitzer for her reporting from the Ebola outbreak in Zaire, which she details powerfully in the book. It's firsthand experience.
Talking to everyone involved, the scientists, the doctors, the patients, the officials, she saw the whole messy reality.
And she has this amazing ability to synthesize, to connect the dots between, say, a virus mutating.
And global economics or political decisions halfway across the world. Things specialists might miss because they're focused on their own piece.
Yeah, she gives you this holistic view. She takes really complex science, viral genetics, epidemiology, and makes it immediate, makes it human.
Through stories. It's not just data. It's about the people caught up in these events and often the failures that let things spiral.
Okay, so let's lay out the central argument, the big idea of the coming plague.
At its heart, Garrett is saying that the resurgence of infectious disease, these newly emerging diseases, isn't some accident. It's a direct consequence of human actions.
That whole post-World War II optimism, the idea that we'd conquered polio, smallpox was on the way out, antibiotics could handle bacteria, Garrett says that was a dangerous illusion.
A really dangerous one, because it led to complacency.
Precisely. And while we were feeling complacent, we were busy creating what she calls a global perfect storm for microbes.
Okay, what are the elements of that storm?
Well, first, globalization. Think about air travel. A virus can cross the planet in hours now. Faster than symptoms might even show.
Unthinkable even a century ago. Then there's urbanization.
Huge factor.
Yeah.
Rapid growth of massive cities, often with inadequate sanitation, housing, healthcare, creates these incredibly dense environments where diseases can just rip through populations.
And the third big piece is ecological disruption. This seems absolutely central to her argument.
It is. Deforestation, building dams, roads going into previously untouched wilderness. All these things push humans and our livestock into close contact with animal species.
And the viruses and bacteria they carry, which were previously isolated, were basically knocking on the door of new pathogens.
So the book reads like this sprawling scientific detective story. She traces outbreaks from the 60s, like the Machupo virus.
We'll get into that one.
All the way up through the emergence of HIV/AIDS in the 80s and early 90s. And she's showing this accelerating trend. It's not just random bad luck. It's a pattern driven by us.
Our arrogance and, frankly, our neglect of the systems needed to watch for and fight these things.
So let's dig into some of those specific stories, because they really illustrate the mechanism she's talking about. You mentioned the Machupo virus.
Yeah, part under the book really focuses on these ecological interventions. Machupo in Bolivia, 1962. It's this fascinating, almost self-contained parable.
A mysterious hemorrhagic fever pops up. People are dying. Scientists are baffled.
Right. And the solution, which Garrett recounts brilliantly, wasn't finding some exotic new jungle creature initially. It was mice.
Mice.
a specific type of field mouse, the Calamese mouse, suddenly started invading people's homes in huge numbers. Their population had exploded.
Okay, but why? Mice populations boom and bust, don't they?
They do, but this was different. It turned out that a major anti-malaria campaign, backed by the U.S., had involved widespread spraying of DDT to kill mosquitoes.
Okay, I think I see where this is going.
The DDT didn't just kill mosquitoes, it also killed the local cats. Or sickened them enough that they died off.
The natural predators of the mice.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So remove the cats, the mouse population skyrockets, they invade homes looking for food, they carry the Machupo virus, and bam, a deadly human epidemic. All triggered by trying to solve a different health problem.
That's incredibly clarifying. A perfect example of unintended consequences. Ecological blowback.
It really is. So if Machupo shows ecological links, the next part of the book tackles our hubris more directly. The theme of old enemies returning in new, stronger forms.
Yeah, she looks at things like malaria and cholera, diseases we thought we had a handle on.
But with malaria, the widespread, sometimes careless use of chloroquine
just drove the evolution of drug-resistant strains. The parasite adapted faster than we developed new drugs in many places.
And cholera.
A story of infrastructure failure. She details the massive 1991 outbreak in Peru. It exploded because of crumbling water and sanitation systems. Basic public health infrastructure just wasn't maintained.
And it spread like wildfire through South America. Shows how quickly things collapse when those fundamentals aren't there. And it's not just a developing world issue, right?
Yeah.
So she makes that point very clearly.
Definitely. Look at Legionnaire's disease. Philadelphia, 1976. American Legion Convention.
Right. Caused by bacteria breeding in the hotel's air conditioning system. A product of modern technology creating a new ecological niche for a pathogen.
So our own buildings, our infrastructure can become part of the problem. It proved emerging diseases weren't just happening over there in remote jungles.
Okay, so ecological disruption, drug resistance, infrastructure, then comes the ultimate test, as she frames it, HIV/AIDS.
Yeah, she dedicates a huge, powerful section to AIDS. She sees it as the quintessential coming plague because it exploited all the vulnerabilities we'd created.
How so?
Well, the origin, the SIV spillover from primates in Central Africa, likely linked to hunting or deforestation, that ecological disturbance.
Okay, the initial jump.
Then its silence spread for years, maybe decades, enabled by societal changes, urbanization, people moving for work, increased travel along new transportation routes, even things like unsterilized needles in early health campaigns.
So it used all those modern networks we built.
Exactly. It hitched a ride on globalization before we even knew it existed. It was the first truly global pandemic in the modern sense.
And her critique of the response.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty devastating, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely scathing. Particularly the initial response in the U.S. The denial, the prejudice, the political foot dragging, the lack of funding.
She argues that stigma and denial weren't just unfortunate side effects. They were active accelerants of the epidemic. They made the public health crisis infinitely worse.
Yeah, it wasn't just a biological failure. It was a massive societal and political failure. The virus exploited our social divisions just as effectively as it exploited T cells.
So stepping back from the individual cases, Garrett pulls it all together in the final part, asking why. What are the core drivers boiling in this cauldron of disease?
She identifies a few key ingredients. First, and maybe most pressingly even then, the antibiotic crisis.
The rise of the superbugs.
Exactly. Driven by overuse and misuse of antibiotics, not just doctors handing them out for viruses.
But also, crucially, their massive use in agriculture. Feeding antibiotics to livestock to promote growth or prevent infections in crowded conditions, that's a huge engine for resistance.
And she documents the terrifying results, like MRSA becoming common in hospitals and multi-drug-resistant TB showing up in places like New York City prisons.
MDR-TB, that's a nightmare scenario. Tuberculosis coming back, but resistant to the standard drugs.
And flourishing in those crowded, underserved environments, which links back to the second driver, ecological disruption. We keep mentioning it because it's so fundamental.
Pushing into habitats, increasing contact with wildlife reservoirs. We're basically forcing introductions between microbes and human populations.
And the final key ingredient.
Institutional failure. Garrett delivers a pretty stark assessment of the decline of global and national public health bodies, like the WHO and the CDC.
How so? What was failing?
Budget cuts, political interference, bureaucratic inertia. She argues the systems designed to be our early warning network and our coordinated defense were being weakened right when we needed the most.
So lack of resources, lack of coordination, lack of political will leaves you vulnerable.
Terribly vulnerable. Okay, let's synthesize those into the big recurring themes or messages you take away from the book.
I think the first one has to be the end of human invincibility, or rather the illusion of invincibility.
Right. Those early wins with vaccines and antibiotics made us dangerously overconfident. We thought we'd won.
And because we thought we'd won, we started dismantling the very public health programs, the surveillance systems, the research funding that gave us those wins in the first place, treating them like luxuries.
Which leads straight into the second theme, globalization as a microbial superhighway.
Yeah. Modern life, air travel, international trade, massive cities, it's the perfect distribution system for a pathogen. An outbreak anywhere can become a threat everywhere, incredibly fast.
Makes borders seem pretty meaningless from a microbe's perspective.
Completely. Which ties into her third major theme, the socioeconomic drivers of disease. This really reframes the whole issue.
It does. The idea that microbes exploit our societal weaknesses. Poverty, malnutrition, conflict, inequality, lack of education, political instability.
These aren't just background factors. They actively fuel epidemics. Think about that MDR-TB in prisons again. It thrived because of neglect, overcrowding, poor healthcare access.
It hammers home that disease isn't just biology. It's deeply embedded in social context, which leads to one of her most powerful concepts.
Let's get into those notable ideas or quotes. She has such a knack for phrasing. What are some key ones?
Well, maybe the simplest and most chilling is just, the microbes are winning.
Oof, yeah. What does she mean by winning?
Not that they have consciousness, but that evolutionarily they are adapting faster than we are responding. They're relentless competitors, not static targets.
Which connects to another core idea you mentioned earlier. We are architecting our own plagues.
Yes. This rejects the idea that epidemics are just unavoidable natural disasters. It puts the responsibility squarely on human decisions, how we build, how we travel, how we farm, how we treat the planet.
We create the conditions. The microbes just exploit them.
Then there's the one that really resonates with the social context. Poverty is the greatest pathogen.
That's powerful. It says vulnerability to disease isn't just about germs. It's about social inequality. Where there's poverty, there's usually poor nutrition, bad sanitation, limited healthcare. Fertile ground for disease.
Absolutely. And finally, related to the globalization point, there are no boundaries in the microbial world.
Highlighting how futile it is to think purely in terms of national defense against disease. A virus doesn't care about passports.
It requires a global perspective, global cooperation. Isolationism is just not a viable strategy against microbes.
So, okay, this book was written 30 years ago. What are the real life applications for us, for you listening today?
Well, on a personal level, it really reinforces the need for informed health practices. Being responsible with antibiotics is huge. Don't pressure your doctor for them if you have a virus. Understand why vaccines matter.
And being a responsible traveler, maybe? Recognizing you could be a vector, even unknowingly?
Definitely. And maybe the biggest personal takeaway is just shedding complacency. Recognizing that feeling safe doesn't mean you are safe, that awareness is the first step. The illusion of safety is the real danger.
And then there are the bigger societal applications.
Huge ones. The book is basically Exhibit A for why we need sustained, robust investment in public health. The CDC, the WHO, local health departments, they aren't budget line items to be cut. They are critical infrastructure.
Like funding the military or maintaining roads. It's essential for national and economic security. The book provides the ammo for that argument.
And it pushes strongly for integrating our thinking, adopting what we now call a one health approach.
Meaning
we have to stop thinking about human health, animal health, and environmental health as separate silos. They are completely interconnected.
So policies on deforestation or land use or climate change are, in fact, public health policies.
Exactly. You can't protect human health if you're destroying the environment that supports it and unleashing new threats in the process. It demands a truly holistic view.
Okay. As we wrap up, what's one final thought or takeaway that really stuck with you from diving back into The Coming Plague?
For me, it's that specific, almost perfect parable of the Machupo virus, the DDT, the cats, the mice. It's such a clear, contained example of how one seemingly small action can ripple outwards with devastating, unexpected consequences. It really underscores the need for humility when we mess with complex systems. we need to respect the microbial world and its connections.
Yeah, that's a great point. For me, I think the lasting insight is her core argument that this struggle isn't a war we can ever definitively win. There's no final victory parade against microbes.
Right. It's not about eradication for most of these threats.
It's about managing a constant dynamic tension. It requires vigilance, intelligence, adaptation, and sustained investment in preparedness. It's not a very comforting thought, maybe, but it feels like a necessary one. Preparedness, in Garrett's view, isn't optional. It's fundamental to survival.
Well said. It's a state of active, informed coexistence, not conquest.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.